Welcome back to Digesting 1899, where we're tackling the Netflix series 1899 one episode at a time. For this episode, we watched episode two. For this podcast, we watched episode two, titled The Boy. So we are a quarter of the way through the season already, amazingly. Episode two out of eight. And I'm Zach Brooks, and I'm joined by the Kerberos to my Prometheus, Aaron Brooks.
Yes, I'm the ship still sailing, I guess. Yeah. And being the dog guy, I should be Kerberos, which we'll get into very shortly.
But, yeah, well, and you know, and you have me on a leash too by the end of the episode. Yeah,
indeed.
I did think about doing Angel to my Romero, but we found out they're not brothers, so that would have been inaccurate.
Yeah, yeah. Which everybody already knows anyways. And now that I look at them, it's pretty obvious they're not.
Yeah, as soon as you said that, I was like, oh, yeah, okay, that makes sense.
I don't think anybody cares. It's kind of like the fake marriage, the fake. They're like, we're all fakes here. We're all trying to achieve something. We're all fakes here. Is that a clue to what is going on?
Yes.
All fakes here.
Yes. So we're talking about episode 2, 1899. If you haven't watched it, get out of here. We're going to spoil it. More than we already have. Yeah, well, even more than we already have. So we're going through every episode 1899 over the next couple weeks, probably like 3 to 4 episodes a week. So the next one we're thinking will come sometime early next week. So if you're listening in the real time, you know, Thanksgiving week, I think Monday is like the 21st or the 22nd. Make sure you don't miss an episode, though. Subscribe on all platforms. I updated our Anchor profile yesterday, so we have some new cover art. The podcast
is
more
cold, snowy.
The podcast is now called Digesting 1899 instead of Digesting Fargo, which is what we had it called. So subscribe on all platforms and then send us your feedback. We'll take emails, digestingdarkpod@gmail.com. Our legacy name still exists. Just make sure the only way that I'm going to read it is if the episode number and name is in the subject line of your email. It does not look like we've gotten any emails yet today, though. So no feedback today, but hopefully by episode 3, we'll have some people who've listened over the weekend send in their feedback. So at digestingdarkpod@gmail.com.
Yep.
All right. Let's get into everything with this episode.
Do we want to start out with just getting like the Greek mythology lesson out of the way for the day?
Yeah. So you said you did some research this morning while you were waiting for me. So give me some Greek. So this is Greek mythology or German mythology?
Well, it's Greek-German, I guess. In this story.
European like mythology, we can call it.
Japanese, Cantonese, whatever. Whatever gets the job done. But here, I remember last episode afterwards, I was thinking about when I said this, I'm like, this was a stupid thing to say. I said, the name of the second boat probably doesn't matter. So, like, it's like something, some word I don't know. But, like, it's not going to be important. It's not going to mean anything thematically or symbolically. And it's Kerberos, which when I saw the name, it looked to me like kind of like a German brand name or something. Just, I was like, whatever, it's not a big deal. The power of Google and YouTube, I looked it up, and at first I found computer code, which it's a computer code apparently. So a bunch of like the, first videos I found were computer code. Maybe that's doesn't mean anything, or it's like a coincidence. Like they name, but then I put in Kerberos, Greek god, and found it is pronounced Cerberus in English, and it's a pretty common Greek god we've seen in a lot of things. Actually, it's a three-headed wolf made out of serpents, which the heads are said to represent the past, present, and future. Something that the dark creators are not at all interested in, right?
Yes, definitely.
Also, it's also been argued to represent birth. What is it? Birth, youth, and old age. So again, another thing that Dark isn't interested in at all, right?
Well, I'm trying to think. Do we have any elderly people? So there was one thing.
We have the boy who are wondering if he's also someone else, or
and the girl.
And the girl, yeah. And we've had birth. We've had death. We've had the death of the girl. We've had birth. We've had the youth. And also, it is it's the guard dog of the underworld. It basically protects the dead from escaping the underworld and protects the living from entering the underworld. Mm-hmm. So it's like just left and right. We're going to see what this means. Not to mention Prometheus. Did we go in? I don't know if we went into Prometheus last time, but Prometheus gave humans fire, which is a hugely useful tool, aka gave humans a tool that provided a ton of advancements in life. And then Prometheus was punished for his gift to humanity. We have Prometheus, we have Cerberus, or Kerberos, if that's how it's pronounced in German, I'm not sure. But yeah, that to me just, and not to mention how this episode ends, there's so many things.
Right, so I do
wonder if the Greek and the computer code could kind of work together here too.
Yeah, I wonder, I mean, is it like an operating system that's named after Kerberos maybe?
I didn't look much into the computer operating system or code. I might be using the wrong terminology there. I'm not a computer engineer by any stretch, in case you can't tell. But yeah, it definitely, I just, at minimum, the Greek god and how that works with the symbolism of this show is definitely going to play into it. And I wonder if, with the possibility of simulation way higher up for me now after the end of this episode, at least for me, the computer aspect could also play a role.
Yeah. So I just did a quick Google search of Cerberus, and I don't want to look up too much just because I don't want to spoil anything for the show, but I also don't want anything from, you know, like any theories or anything to pop up. But I do see some other names, and I'm getting myself into trouble trying to pronounce these. Thypius and Echidna, I can't pronounce that. Echidna. Echidna. I don't know. Somebody else. This is terrible. Yeah. All right. Be on the lookout for those two names is all I was trying to say. Is like, will we see maybe those two names? Because that's the parents of Cerberus.
Right. Yeah. I think, it's very, or at least we've had mention of a father already and other things. So,
yeah. One thing that I was thinking about before you even brought up the Cerberus thing with this episode is that maybe we are in some sort of afterlife purgatory type situation. I think that's, again, like we had with the theories from yesterday, I think that's a little too easy for this show.
I think that's Lost related from you.
Yeah, well, and because that's the thing. Everybody thought Lost was purgatory. Spoilers for Lost, it's not. They're not in purgatory in Lost.
Oh, they're not?
No, everybody likes to say that. That's like the common misconception. It was not purgatory.
I thought that's what it was. Okay.
Yeah, so... But I do feel like the fact that we're getting like this mixture of technology. I mean, so the end of the episode, we haven't even talked on this, but like the end of the episode, we are looking at Captain Ike and the screen starts getting kind of like pixelated and we zoom out and all of a sudden we're on a TV screen and then we're in a room with like 12. I should have looked at how many TV screens there were and who was on every screen, but we do have a close up of just every character. Okay.
All right. I did have the order, and first of all, when we zoomed out of that screen, instantly, again, Dark came up for me. And this is just like a more technological character map that we're seeing almost. It looks
true.
Reminds me of the layouts in the bunker almost. But with that, we had at the top of the screen, the German sailors, I'll say, kind of the two who are thinking about going against the call of the captain to destroy Prometheus. We have them at the top, and they're kind of contemplating. We have to the right, I should say. We have the kid, and then the woman who talked to Mara about the brain and not needing to discover the darkness.
Okay. Was that Tove? Was that the pregnant woman?
Not the pregnant woman. The older. She's kind of like an older woman, middle-aged woman, I should say.
Yeah, she was on the ship deck. She's kind of mysterious, that woman. Or is it another woman?
No, the woman, like, she's talking to Mora in the cafe in the discussion about how Mora's a brain doctor.
Yes, okay. I do remember that from the first episode. I just don't remember who that was. Anyway.
Yeah, so you'll probably see her again. She didn't seem super important, so I was interested to see how she was there. At the bottom, we had the boy and Jerome. And then to the left, Mora and what I'm going to call is the stranger right now, the guy who lives in 1013.
Yes, Daniel Solis is his name.
Okay, good. And Daniel. So those are all the characters that I have an extremely close eye on. So I was glad that Jerome made it in there.
What about Oleg? Was Oleg on that list?
Oleg was not in there.
Okay. because I feel like Olek seems important. I may be thinking that because it might be dark related because he looks so much like Jonas to me.
No, that's fair. I mean, and also it just could have been at the time. I also was looking very closely at the rest of that room. It looked like it was in some sort of a psychology office or something. There was a bookshelf to the left. Mm-hmm. And then there was a modern, but not that modern, of a computer to the right at the bottom.
Yes. If you watched Lost, this is very similar to some Dharma Initiative stuff, I feel like.
Okay, which explain that to me. Like, I've never seen it since.
I don't want to like ruin Lost for anybody because it's a great show. But I think it's like it's a company that does some scientific experiments.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
I am feeling San Junipero vibes possibly as well.
Okay. Well, like, speaking of the afterlife.
Hooking up your brain to a hard drive to kind of deal with.
This also, and I never watched the second season, but this also reminds me kind of has a similar vibe to the OA that was on Netflix, which I know you like quite a bit.
Which makes me very happy. And yes.
So we're pulling from lots of different properties here.
That deal with the afterlife.
Yeah. Speaking of Lost, this is just a side tangent. So I was talking to somebody about this show and they said, and I couldn't believe this. They said, you know, I never finished the third season of Dark. Which crazy to me. How can you start the third season or not? Like, how's it not killing you trying to figure out what happened at the end of the Dark? But either way, they said, I never finished Dark. Do I need to finish Dark before I watch this show? And I said, it's helpful, but I think that you can watch this show without watching Dark. And the comparison I would make is like The Leftovers and Lost. They are thematically similar. They're stylistically similar. They're made by the same people, mostly one of the people who made Lost. But it's not, they're not, you don't have to have the knowledge of Lost to watch Leftovers. It just enhances it, which I feel like is the same for this.
I think we gotta wait and see.
Yeah.
I think we gotta wait and see.
Okay. Well, maybe. Yeah, maybe I'll be wrong.
But for now, I
would say through two episodes, you don't need to have seen Dark to understand this show.
I'm never gonna suggest someone doesn't watch Dark.
No, I said, what are you doing? Go finish that, but also you can watch this without it.
Yeah, well, again, I'm going to be the tinfoil hat guy with this until I see episode 8 and have a full picture of this first season, or if this is a complete series, who knows, but I'm holding out reservation that this is, the Darkverse is live and well in my theory.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll see. All right, well, speaking of people from Dark, can we talk a little bit about Captain Ike?
He's
the focal character of this.
Which the first episode, it starts similar to the first episode in a lot of ways.
Yes, almost the same, where we get some sort of flash to not on the boat. And I wondered a couple things during this. One, I thought, is this going to be, sorry, drink if you're playing the Lost drinking game, but is this going to be like Lost where each episode is going to have a feature character that we get some sort of backstory and we learn more about? So we had Mara in the first episode, we had Ike in this episode. I think that's probably likely that we're going to get that pattern throughout the show. The other thing I was thinking is then, so we're seeing him, he wakes up and in his dream, he's seeing his house on fire and kids in the house. And we learn this is his family, and we do learn this is what actually happened to him. This is a traumatic experience that happened to him in the past, that his family was burned up and killed. And his wife set the house on fire, I believe, right? Yes. Yep. Okay. And then he wakes up back in the cabin on the ship in bed. And I wondered if we were getting like a Rashomon type thing where now we're going to see that first day from his perspective and see more things from his perspective. And we hadn't actually gone to the Prometheus yet, but no, we actually jumped forward a little bit and they had been to the Prometheus and they came back to the boat. And this is the next morning.
Yeah, and I think it makes a lot of sense with a show with this many characters that we're going to focus on a different one, at least for the first half or so of the season. I think.
Well, how many TV screens were there? There were more than 8, right?
There are 9 with Ike's in the middle, because there's 2 on each side, 2 on the top, 2 on the bottom.
Okay.
And then the one in the middle that we saw, and there could be multiple rooms. This could just be one observation. We don't know. But when they zoom like out of Captain Ike's eye, like into that woods that he wakes up in, they show the pyramid kind of spinning around inside his eye. Again, we see that black pyramid. Talk about a traumatic experience to go through that could send you to maybe like, I don't know, a mental health hospital.
Oh, true. Yeah.
So again,
psychiatric hospital.
Yeah, we're going to find out, I think, with each one of these characters as we go on, that they have a reason why they're there, so to speak. And, you know, I just think, yeah, right now we have been introduced technology as a confirmation in this world. So simulation has to be at the front of what I think might be going on. I won't go too much back to that the rest of the episode, but yeah, then he wakes up. He's always drinking as well.
He wakes up, he immediately starts drinking as soon as he wakes up.
And they showed that in the first episode too. He kept it with him. Like, I noticed that in the first episode. So he's got a lot of problems. On the back of his letter, which all of them seem to have a letter. Also, it says, what is lost will be found.
Yes, I did notice that. And so we've now seen his letter and we've seen Mara's letter, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to take any sort of guess on what character we're going to focus on in the next episode? We could also say
I'm ruined for my girl, the Japanese Cantonese secret, whatever is going on. I'm so curious. They fascinate me. I need to know.
Well, we'll get into the next episode predictions, I guess, by the end. But I don't want to go like beat by beat through the episode, but what else with Ike? So Ike is, he gets a note from the company, which we do learn that this is an American company that bought the German ship, kind of late, like just happened. They do talk about that. The crew is talking about that a lot. And the company sent a letter that said, sink the ship. So sink the Bismarck. How are they supposed to sink the ship? Like, what do you think would be the best way to sink a ship if you had to sink the Prometheus?
I don't know if they have like weapons on the ship. They haven't really shown that. To be like a military capable. So like explosives don't seem possible. They're running low on coal.
So he does ask Oleg for more, to find all the coal, it does turn out that we're low on coal. Do you think he wanted that because he knew he wanted to turn back around, or because he wanted to use that coal to sink the ship somehow?
No, I think that it was like, how much fuel do we have? How much type of thing? All I could think of. Yeah. I mean, maybe you like hook up, like, I don't know, some sort, like, I don't know how you're going to sink the ship. And,
immediately I thought like, I just figured they would blow it up somehow, but I guess I don't know if they have any explosives.
Yeah. They can't crash into it. That would ruin both of them. I don't know. And so it's very weird. And with the messages, I don't know if you noticed the symbol that the messages are being sent with, but triangles.
Yeah, upside down triangle with the line through it, right?
Which is probably the symbol of this company that's testing these.
I do feel like it's the symbol of, and it's probably the symbol of the American company that bought the ship, or the quote unquote American company that bought the ship. Because we also see that symbol carved into the floor panel.
That, Ike. Is it Ike? Is that how you say his name? Ike?
I think so. I'm pronouncing it Ike until I'm corrected. Okay. So then throughout the episode, Ike is also hearing some singing in German. And he's the only one who seems to hear it. Mara can't hear it. Ike, you know, similar to... I'm getting like Shining vibes as well watching this, right? We have the kid, the supernatural kid, and then we have Ike following the songs and the music into a room and then seeing a vision and seeing his family, almost like he's transported back to his family. And it's like an interactive flashback almost, where he sees his daughters there. They talk about the mom and that the mom is, the dreams have started again for the mom. And when he comes, when he leaves that room, then he's like in the basement of the ship. Is that right? Is that kind of where this happened? And then he starts climbing up the ladder into the cabin room.
I think we're going to just learn that this ship has many secrets, including kind of secret kind of passageways. So it's a little confusing right now, but yeah, that's how I gathered it.
Yeah. And one of the kids, I think it might've been Nina, said, you cannot shackle someone who prefers to be at sea. That line stuck out to me.
Yeah, well, and, you know, the shackles going back to Serpius being shackled by Hades to the underworld.
And we start with Mara, who has those, like, handcuff marks on her arms in the first episode, on her wrist in the first episode. And I did just see in my notes too that Ike followed the bug to get back up to the cabin. So he sees that, he sees one of those little green bugs walking that, and he follows just, it.
Those bugs stick out so much to me. They're so different than everything else in the show.
Well, because they're this bright, they're almost like metallic, right?
They look like they're from the Mummy. They remind me of the bugs from the Mummy.
Oh, yeah. That's maybe the inspiration.
Yeah, metallic, though, I didn't even think of. They might be like purely technological, like bugs, like almost to like keep tabs on what's going on.
I mean, they might have cameras in them.
That's right? What I'm saying. Right. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there's something going on with the bugs. And we did, I mean, you talk about Westworld. We did have the flies in this last season of Westworld as well.
Yeah. So. And I mean, there, you know, even like Jerome at one point compares himself to the flock of birds when he sees the flock of birds flying away.
Yes, so we hear lots of references to birds. Mara also tells a story about going bird hunting with her father. And this seems like a very significant story, that she was bird hunting with her father and thought her father had left. And so then she was behaving like she was not around anybody. And she said this felt very freeing, that she was able to be herself. And then it turned out her father was actually there and was watching her, which, again, now this is somebody else who's watching a character when they don't know they're being watched. I didn't pick up on that, obviously, in the real time. But now looking back on that and just talking about it, I'm like, oh, it's another character who doesn't realize that they're being watched. And these characters, I mean, they might be being watched by the bugs, by the birds. Does seem like both of those are pretty significant sticking out.
Yeah, no, I agree. There's just so many similarities amongst all these people on this boat.
And we're kind of jumping all over the place, but in the next scene when we get Jerome talking about the birds, and again I was like, wow, we just had a reference to the bird. And I think there was a reference to birds early in the episode too, and I just didn't write down what it was, like very early in the episode. But I did pick up on kind of a theme of expectations in this episode and really with this show in general. And you know, when Jerome is talking to that woman on the deck of the ship, and she says that she thought he was on the crew because of how he was dressed, and talks about her the way she felt about, like, just looking at him and what she thought about him. And I was thinking about, like, some of the other opportunities in this show where people are judging somebody else. And then my experience coming into this show, with the expectation, having watched Dark, of what this show would be like. And I think, like, this show is kind of playing with that theme of subverting expectations or leaning into them in some ways.
Yeah, it's going to be it's a kind of a perfect blend of the two. I think at some point we're going to be on the right track, and other points we're going to be led astray, but it's all really, it does have a purpose. And and even Jerome says that he made his decision as soon as saw her, that of how he felt about her.
So. Yeah, that's the line exactly. And so they both said it to the other one, that they felt a way about each other because of first looking at them. And maybe that goes to the subconscious, where they have had experiences with each other in the past in another world, like whatever is actually going on. And so they do have those memories that they're kind of drawing from.
Well, not only that, but like we have talks about how the poor feel about the rich. With example to Scarface getting the cigarette case from Angel, which again, his name's Angel Still, so that's for a reason. Mm-hmm. Always dressed in white, not exactly acting holier than thou, but he's always rubbing that cigarette case, which I was trying to see the like design on it. It kind of looked like a three like loop type of thing.
That almost looked like a bug to me.
Oh, did it? Okay. Yeah, good. It was hard to see. So it kind of looks similar to the bug maybe. So either way, but gives the cigarette case to Scarface, like touches the scar. They have a really weird moment. Yeah,
that's Crester is the name of that character.
Crester. Thank you.
I started a list of all the character names that I'm just putting at the bottom of my notes each time.
That's extremely helpful, and also helpful for our listeners when I say Scarface and then you say Crester. We can all associate it together and learn.
Well, there's a couple characters with scars on their face, so
but this is the Scarface. But yeah, Crester accepts the cigarette case, and then once sisters finds it,
Tove, like,
yeah, Tove,
I think that's his. I don't know if they're brother and sister or husband and wife.
Okay, Yeah.
And then there's the girl Ada. And I don't know if, like, I was trying to figure out, are they three siblings and are their parents on the boat, or are these the parents and this is their, cause Crestor tells Ada at one point, he says, go play with Tove, which I feel like is like not what you would say about a mom. I feel like you'd say that about your sibling.
And go play with your other family sibling vibes. But like, she's like, rich people never give you something without expecting something in return. Basically get rid of this.
Yeah.
Like, so what are they so protective of down there? And like, yeah, what is going on?
Right. No. Yeah. She says, rich people never give you something for free. And said, I never pretended to be something I'm not. Is another line from that scene. So one other thing with Jerome that we do get is he goes into Lucien's room and he puts some sort of metal on the table. And Lucien's wife, so Lucien is the French guy, Lucien's wife finds the metal on the table, seems to hide it when she finds it. And it looked to me like a German army, like something you would have on your uniform, like if you were in the German army, is what it looked like to me.
Yeah, it looked like some sort of like commendation medal. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I wonder if, is somebody trying to communicate with them and remind them of who they are? Maybe that's Jerome's role, is that Jerome is trying to wake these people up. And so he puts that to remind Lucien of who he actually is, or something in his past. Now, Lucien is French, not German, but.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's really hard to peg at this point, but I don't think that's out of the possibility.
Yeah.
On the realm of the bugs, do we want to finish with the little girl following the bug up to Daniel?
Yeah, so another character who follows Bug. Ada follows the bug. At this point, when she's walking, so I did say earlier that I didn't think we had any elderly people on the show. I thought Ada looked like an old woman from behind, the way that they filmed her in that hallway. She's like kind of hunched over, like, and I didn't realize it was her at first and thought maybe it was an old woman.
Yeah, interesting. I did not notice that at all. But really quickly, thinking about these bugs in the system, that what they are?
Go back to the computer, the Crestos being a computer.
Yep. Yeah. And maybe the Greek god part of it is the part throwing us off.
Yeah, and well, I mean,
the computer code,
there's also there's a Trojan horse virus as well, which is not Greek mythology, but it is a Greek, ancient Greece.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Right? Or is that Italy? No, Trojan horse is
Greek. No, it's definitely Greek.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Just making sure.
Italian Trojan horse.
Yes. It's early in the morning. So, she sees Daniel, and Daniel says, I'm so sorry, and we cut away. There were, like, three different moments in this episode where I thought the episode was going to end. I thought that was going to be the first one. Then we have them talking about how they're going to tow the Prometheus back. And the crew is worried that the Kerberos doesn't have the fuel to tow the boat. They do talk about that there's 1612 passengers, so 1,612 passengers on the ship. And before then, they do have the assembly in the they have an assembly in the dining room to tell the passengers that they're going to be turning around and going back to where they started. I think they said back to England where they started. So, and then we see Daniel. Daniel actually has a letter has a photo that we see, and that he has a photo of Mara. So.
Yeah, exactly. So
he has some sort of, and it looks like an old photo of Mara. Now, it might just be because of the time period.
Right. And Oleg has the New York picture. So, yeah, very interesting, kind of, again, showing that there's outside technology coming in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're going to be turning the ship around, but the crew doesn't think this is a good decision. The crew they still want to sink the Prometheus. And again, we don't know how they would do that, but they want to sink the Prometheus.
Yeah, and so. Ike seems to be the only one who really doesn't want to. And why is, protecting? Right, and also, exactly. Just going back to the first episode, who put the sword in the cabinet to keep the little boy there?
Right. So, and we haven't talked about the boy at all. We've talked about everybody
else. Which is the name of the episode.
Yes, the titular boy. The episode is called The Boy. And we see the boy some. He's often in Mora's room, in Mora's cabin. Early on in the episode, when Mora sees Daniel outside of his cabin, we cut pretty quickly from Daniel's face to the boy's face. And to me, it feels like they're really trying to make you think that Daniel is a grown-up version of the boy. And I think, again, that is those expectations from watching Dark.
Okay.
So I don't think that's what it is. I think they're leaning too much into it.
Okay. I don't know who this guy is yet. I wanted to keep calling him the Stranger. So it's
that's a fine name. We got Scarface, we got the Stranger. We can just have nicknames for everybody. Yeah. But do we even see really? I mean, we see the boy occasionally, like in Mara's room, and she talks to him. I guess Ike does yell at the boy at one point, right, and wants to know where he's from.
And this boy is looking at like Mora, like he knows where her fate is heading, and he's like sad about it.
Yeah,
he seems to have like premonition type of
abilities. Like The Shining.
Yes,
maybe he's shining.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he's communicating with someone else that way. I don't know, but he just seems to know more than he's saying, which has he had a line yet?
I was trying to think if he's talked yet. I don't think so.
Yeah, so, I mean, he knows more than he's leading on, for sure. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm, yeah. And then we haven't talked about Romero and Angel. So it is revealed they're not brothers, they're lovers. And we do see a sex scene between them, and Angel has scratches all over his back.
Yep. Which, no idea haven't we from. Had characters before from Dark have scratches on their back or
at least
things on their back, tattoos, mm-hmm. which are in a form. I mean, the scratches, I think they were from Bro, right?
I don't know. It's a lot of scratches to be from his nails.
But he was like scratching him, like even in the scene. Like, I think maybe it's just a show. Angel's a passionate lover.
Maybe.
What do you think it's a show?
I don't know, but I think it's just a show of some sort of past. Maybe there's some sort of torture that happened in the real world, and if there is like a real world versus the, like, I'm kind of operating under like this is some sort of other reality, and things are starting to bleed in. Maybe so. Maybe it's that. After their scene, the camera pans up and we see another wolf. So we see a wolf and a sheep on a painting. So wolves, birds, bugs, like all of these sorts of wildlife are showing up lots of times in this show. And I think that's most of the major things from this. I feel like this episode had a lot more going on than the first episode. It's kind of hard to talk about everything because we just don't know what's important and where things are going. So for me, I'm just trying to kind of identify some patterns and some major things I have with characters.
Yeah, speaking of patterns, another pattern, Child in Time by, I believe it was Purple Haze, plays at the end of this episode. So another 70s song. Mm. There's a lot of really...
Deep Purple is the
Deep
band.
Deep Purple. Deep Purple, Child in Time, though. I didn't write down the lyrics or anything, but tons of like very kind of ominous sort of lyrics that are going to lead into the show. It's another 70s song, though. So there's a lot of weird stuff going on with mental health in the 70s. So is this like a super weird 70s experiment gone wrong with the regards to simulation?
I think the technology that we have just doesn't quite line up with either time period. So I think that we're getting some I just don't think it's.
Why are we getting two 70s songs in a row?
Yeah, it is interesting that we're getting two 70s songs in a row.
That's when we got 80s songs, it was taking place in the 80s with Dark.
Mm-hmm.
It was a clue to what was going on. We're getting 70s. It seems like at least one of the time periods is going to be the 70s if this has multiple time periods.
Yeah. And we didn't talk about the compasses are all messed up too. So
that's classic Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah. Which is another triangle. And
which was huge in the 70s.
The compasses are going all over the place. They're spinning all over the place. And then we do get Morse code. We get at the end, but it's triangle Morse code. So it's upside down or right side up triangles is what they're receiving.
I don't know if you can like customize your like Morse code like emoji.
I don't think you can customize back then. Maybe in the 70s you could, but All right. Well, yeah, I think we've covered everybody and everything. Mrs. Wilson is the name of that woman that you were talking about. I did have her written down on my character.
She looks like a Mrs. Wilson. That's a great name for her.
Yeah. I wrote down short-haired Wilson is named Miss, or short-haired woman is named Mrs. Wilson.
Yeah. And she, that like, she really stuck out as the one of those nine that didn't belong there. So maybe we start with her next episode and learn who she really is.
Yeah. I mean, maybe there's gotta be somebody watching the screens. So,
yeah, maybe like a white-haired guy with glasses.
Who's going to explain everything. Did the architect have glasses?
No. I was more saying the doctor from Dark, who is the scientist from Dark, who's trying to save his family. What is his name? Why am I blanking on his name right now? But years ago. What if he's the same guy?
It started with a T. Tannhaus.
Tannhaus.
Yeah.
It's Tannhaus.
Okay. It's not the architect from The Matrix.
No, it's Tannhaus.
Okay. Did you notice your number three popping up anywhere new in this episode?
I mean, just more of the triangles. Once again, is it Clemens, Lucine's wife? Is that her name?
Clemens. Yes, Clemens. Yep.
She always was wearing those very clearly symbolic triangles.
Maybe she works for the company.
Yeah, maybe she does. Maybe Jerome does too. And Jerome's like an orderly trying to release the information so people know what they're really doing to people in here. It's like, I don't know.
They were missing. They do have, I think they said they have 3,000 tons of coal left. So
yeah, they said 3,000 tons. 1612 is divisible by 3, I believe.
Not gonna do math. Too early to do that math.
I'm gonna say it is.
But 16 is 4 squared. 4. Yeah.
Yep. There you
and
go.
12 is 3 times 4.
And if you add up
1 and 2, that's 3. So maybe there's some of that. And there was the they originally had they said that the ship has 45,000 tons of steel.
Divisible by 3. I can do that math.
Yeah, that one you can. And that they think it's weird that this American company bought the ship, but it never gets full. That there's not very many people on the ship. You know, this huge ship, and they only have 1,600 passengers.
So, yeah, that is really weird. Yeah, there's so much we're going to learn. I have no idea. I think we could get to the end of the season and be laughing about ever thinking the simulation was so obvious. Because it's so obvious right now, right? So what's going on?
Yeah.
But it's not, probably not that.
No. And no, they also say how the crew and the crew at the base of the ship, as they're loading the coal into the ship, they say, how did the boy survive? Is he a werewolf? That was another wolf reference.
Yep.
So,
good stuff.
All right. And from the opening title sequence, I did notice a lot of the characters. There's a lot more I picked up on having watched one episode. So I'll be curious to watch it again and see, you know, how prevalent the bugs are, maybe some screens, but I noticed a lot of the characters, they're kind of like statues. They're sort of breaking apart, but I saw a bunch of ships. And it does look almost like a computer simulation where the ship is going and then there's blocks that are moving.
Agreed.
Noticed some bugs as well in the title sequence.
It's not like with Dark, I don't skip the Dark intro. I'm not gonna be skipping this intro.
Yeah, in the first episode they did not give you the option to skip the intro. In the second episode they do give you the option.
Yeah, I'm not going to be taking that option.
Yeah. So
are we ready for MVPs?
Yes, MVPs. So this is a lot much harder show to pick MVP than the last one.
Episode, you mean?
No, I mean just the show in general. It's hard to pick an MVP.
Well, we had 2 seasons of building up relationships before we were picking MVPs last time. We got to get to know. We're easing into this. We're not Angel and Romero here.
Yeah. All right.
Speaking of which, MVP for me is Angel. I think that. It's a pretty key sequence, what he did with giving that cigarette case. He's definitely knows more than we know at this point. I love a good, passionate love scene as well. Scratches on the back. We're going to figure out. There's lots to know. He's always so well dressed, too. I just love his suit. So all the way around, so many. Everybody contributed. This was a team player type episode. There really isn't that MVP person you could point to. So many different people with an episode like this. I was going into it anticipating the boy would be the MVP, he kind of had the disappointing season.
Yeah, he's the LVP so far.
Yeah, he's like,
he'll be important eventually, but not yet.
He had all the hype going in. This was supposed to be the year, but the kid needs one more year before he's ready, I guess.
one more episode, maybe.
He's young, but either way, yeah, I'm going with Angel for okay. Miami.
I'm going to give it to Daniel because we're learning more about him, and he clearly is trying to accomplish some things, and it seems that he did whatever he was trying to accomplish because he... I mean, is Ada killed at the end? Is she petrified? Yeah. Like, do you think she's dead?
Or she's either dead or paralyzed, it appears.
Yeah.
He apologizes. It must be something pretty bad what happened.
Yeah, having just finished all of the Harry Potter books, there is some characters get petrified in the second book, and they get kind of frozen in place, and so I was thinking a lot about being petrified.
And interesting, because I believe in Harry Potter there was a three-headed dog.
Yes, there's in the first book. Yep, there was.
That protects like something important. I don't watch or read Harry Potter,
that's about right.
So
Cerberus, I think it was called Cerberus in the book as well. I think
it definitely represented Cerberus because it was a three-headed dog protecting.
Yeah, no, it was Cerberus. Fluffy. It was not Fluffy. It was called Fluffy.
But it was inspired by Cerberus.
Based on Cerberus.
So yeah. Your MVP killed a kid or at least petrified a kid. So you're like, I like that.
Well, There's probably a reason for it. And we learned his name. And Solace, I feel like, is, you know, finding Solace. I feel like there's some significance.
Is it spelled that way?
Yes. S-O-L-A-C-E.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, I think, the next episode, the title of the next episode, get your John Carpenter ready. The episode is called The Fog. So,
my least favorite John Carpenter movie.
I'm not a huge fan. So we've had
the vampire
movie. We had the ship, the boy, the fog. So I think we're gonna continue that title structure, that pattern of title structure. So the and then noun. So we haven't really seen fog. I'm assuming maybe we're gonna be encountering fog. I don't know. Do you have any
maybe it's about brain fog? Maybe some people.
Ooh. Yeah.
Cloudy.
All right, I just assumed ship fog. You know, they're heading back to England and they're going to encounter some fog that's going to make it difficult to escape the area where they are right now.
Yeah, it could. Yep.
Yeah. And we'll be back probably Monday, maybe Tuesday, sometime early next week to do another episode. So if you do have feedback, you can send it in. Just email us, digestingdarkpod@gmail.com. We probably got tons of stuff wrong. That's fine. But let us know what you're thinking of the season. And if you do watch episode 3, let us know what your thoughts are on episode 3. And then we can answer some of those questions at the end of the next episode. And we'll get through this over the next couple weeks. And I'm excited. I mean, I'm ready to, like, now we have a couple days off. I'm excited. I'm going to try to watch the next episode a few times because didn't have time to watch it multiple times today.
Yeah, this was both our first watch. We've watched 2 episodes in 2 days of this show.
And a lot of people are going to probably be done with the show by Monday because it's only 8 episodes and we're a quarter of the way through. So, yeah.
I mean, if I wasn't making a podcast, I'd be halfway through the season.
Right. No, it's the nice thing about digesting the digesting series is that we take our time and do a little bit of digesting of this before we just move on to the next episode. But yep. I'm definitely intrigued.
Yeah, I'm hooked, obviously.
Yeah. So, yes. Let us know what you think and we'll be back next week to talk about this. And thanks for listening.